Welcome to Grace and Glory, the radio ministry of Grace Valley Christian Center, featuring biblical teachings of the Christian faith with Pastor P.G. Matthew, Bible teacher and former professor in Greek and theology. Pastor Matthew holds degrees from Westminster Theological Seminary, and he pastors Grace Valley Christian Center in Davis, California, adjacent to the University of California at Davis. Today, we conclude Pastor Matthew's special Thanksgiving message. Last week, Pastor taught from the Gospel of Matthew chapter 20 about the parable of the workers in the vineyard. A generous landowner paid workers who had worked only a short time the same as those who'd worked all day. He did this out of his mercy for the poor workers. And these workers were filled with thanksgiving. But those hired first were grumbling because they thought they deserved more. And Pastor Matthew shared how God owes his creatures nothing, but the creatures owe him everything. And the Christians first must remember that all the benefits of salvation they have received are a gift of God, even that faith by which we first believed. Now for the conclusion of Thanksgiving or Grumbling, here's our teacher, Pastor Matthew.
In 20th chapter of Matthew, and beginning with verse 20, then the mother of Zebedee's sons, her name was Salome, came to Jesus with her sons and, kneeling down, asked a favor of him. If you read Mark chapter 10, you notice the James and John themselves came first. That didn't work, probably. And so he said, let's use some influence, you see. Influence, of course, the mother of James and John was related to Jesus. You see, they came with some influence. And now you understand James and John were not 40 years of age. They were probably teenagers or early 20s, you know. And she has one request, you know. You are related to us, aren't you? We are all friends and relatives. I have a request, you know. I know that you are going to be the king. Soon you are going to announce, I know that. But I have one request, what is it? I want you to make this son, James, and this son, John, to sit on your right. And let's just first, that's all. And everybody will understand, you can explain to them, what? These are my relations. But let me tell you, it doesn't work in the kingdom of God. It simply doesn't work. Human distinctions does not work in the kingdom of God. There the issue is, are you loving God with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength? That is the issue. So Jesus said, no deal. And then in 18th chapter of Matthew, look at the question. At that time, the disciples came to Jesus and asked, who is the greatest, you see? We are all occupied with this ideal position and power and preeminence. I don't think these disciples ever forgot this idea. They want to be first. Who is going to be first? And if you read Mark 10, the rest of the disciples were upset when James and John went to Jesus asking for this third position. They were upset. That is the truth when we introduce distinctions. Life is miserable. They don't understand the principle in the kingdom of God is exactly contrary to the principle in the world. Look at the politicians. They are going around selling themselves, telling them, I'm the most capable, I'm the greatest. But you see, Jesus said, oh, you want to be greatest? Let me tell you how. You should be the servant of all. Oh, I see. If you humble yourselves, you will be what? Exalted. The principle of the kingdom is, blessed are what? The poor in spirit. Blessed are those who mourn. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst after righteousness. Blessed are the meek. Blessed are those who are persecuted. You see, that's a different principle. Another thing we want to learn is this. It is stated in the book of Galatians chapter 3. You see, Galatians were saved by grace. But you see, just like everybody else, we don't like grace all the time. Don't tell me I was nothing. I'm something now. Come on. Don't ever remind me of it. That I was exposed. And I was playing in my own blood and I was dying. Don't tell me about it. third chapter of Galatians. You foolish Galatians, who has bewitched you? Before your very eyes, Jesus Christ was clearly portrayed as crucified. That's speaking about grace. I would like to learn just one thing from you. Did you receive the Spirit by observing the law, work righteousness, or by believing what you heard? Are you so foolish? After beginning with the Spirit, are you now trying to attain your goal by what? Human effort. You see, God, I don't need any more grace. You don't have to handhold me. You know, I'm pretty able to stand. You know, I don't have to pray. I don't have to study the Bible. I don't have to receive any grace. I'm quite capable now. I'm doing pretty good. You see, that's a problem, isn't it? Did you read the story of Asa, who started out as a good king? You know, people start out, now some of these as good, because they are weak and they are nothing, so you have to depend on God. And what did he do after? You see, Asa was blessed by God. He said, you know, God, I'm nothing. I rely on you. Have mercy on me. There is a vast enemy coming after me, and God helped. Then it went to his head, and he became arrogant. And he began to put God's prophets in prison. And God had to afflict him, and he did not come to his senses, so he died in his affliction. And we also read about Jehoshaphat, his son, who started out very nice, but after a while he felt pretty powerful and politically wise, and he was going to have some alliance with the wicked Ahab and all these things, and God rebuked him. This is a problem with believers. We want distinctions, we want position, we want recognition, we want power, we don't want much grace. We want to finish it by our own efforts, though we started by the Spirit and by grace. Oh, now we don't need any help from you, oh God. We are quite capable of doing it on our own. You know, you see that. Children show that. They don't want mama to come again and follow and take them to school. Just go away, you see. I know how to handle myself. But you see, if you are a true believer, you will have grace consciousness always in your life. Look at St. Paul in 1 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 12. I thank Christ Jesus our Lord, who has given me strength, that he considered me faithful, appointing me to his service. You see, service is also God's grace. Even though I was once a blasphemer and a persecutor and a violent man, I was shown mercy because I acted in ignorance and unbelief. The grace of our Lord was poured out on me abundantly, along with the faith and love that are in Christ Jesus. Some people think they believe by their own faith. No, it is poured out to you. Here is a trustworthy saying that deserves full acceptance. Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am the worst. That is humility. That's grace. That's being last. That's being lost. That is humbling. That is being poor in the spirit. That is being meek. That's hungering and thirsting after righteousness. No question, God will exalt him. And God will consider him first when he comes to judge. Oh, to us, chronology is very important. People would say, Pastor, I was there with you when you started that class. I was there. Here is the note. You see that? That note over here, I've been keeping this from 1973. The idea is, I'm pretty good. And I've been walking with you all these years. Salute me. We like chronology, isn't that true? We like distinctions. All right, let's look at this grumbling business. Grumbling. They kept on grumbling, the text says. The idea is they forgot grace. They forgot all about it. They are saying, we work 12 hours. We work 12 hours. We bore the burden of the day. We suffered the heat. And the implication is you are unjust in giving us just one denarius, even though we agreed to it. God owes me something. God is unjust. And then the text says they spoke against him. They accused God to be unjust. And then they spoke with contempt to the last hired people. It is very clear in the Greek, these last ones. Just like the prodigal son's brother. This your son when he came. And the father said, yeah, this your brother. You see, the prodigal son is interested in property rather than in person. When you are more interested in money than in people, then you have forgotten grace. So we worked harder than everybody else. We are superior. These last ones, you made them equal to us. You see the distinction. We want distinction. But you see in the gospel, you find a prostitute, a town prostitute. God forgave her sin and she comes and she weeps and she cries and she wipes the feet of Jesus and pours ointment upon her and kisses her feet. She appreciated grace. She was forgiven much. So what did she do? She loved much. Whenever we get into our head that we are superior, we are distinct, we are different, we are prominent, then corrosion already entered in. There is this work righteousness. There is this denial of grace as the basis of our life from beginning to end. And we begin to grumble and murmur. Poison comes out of us. Poison. God is unfair to me. How come he didn't give me this? How come he didn't give me that? How come he gives me this to these people? But see, they forgot the principle laid down by Jesus Christ in Luke chapter 17. He speaks about an owner of a field, a master who had a slave. He goes to the field to work all day and he comes home. And the master refuses to thank him. He must cook and he must feed the master. And after all of this work, you say what? I'm just a miserable slave. We did our duty. We are miserable slaves. We thank God. The slave should be saying, we thank God for making us his slaves. We were slaves of Satan. Slaves of Pharaoh. He had no interest in us. He wanted to destroy us. The thief comes to steal, kill and destroy. Praise be to God that we have been made the slaves of this one. We are glad that we have a life. We are in his household. We have food to eat. We have the great honor to serve this good master. That's what happens when you are appreciative of grace. We want to understand that reward idea is in the Bible. But it has nothing to do with merit. Reward is based on what? Grace. That's very easy to know. That we were dead, but we were raised up. God himself dwells in us. He causes us to will and to do his good pleasure. He gives us his own power to do so. And whatever we do that is acceptable by God, we do by his doing through us. To get credit for that is a denial of grace. Oh yes, the Bible says he will reward us. But that, understand, it is pure grace. The Bible says he will reward us for enduring temptation, James 1:12. The Bible says he will reward us for diligently seeking him, Hebrews 11:6. He will reward us for dying for Christ, Revelation 2:10. He will reward us for faithful pastoral work, 1 Peter 5:4. He will reward us for soul winning, 1 Thessalonians 2:19 and 20. He will reward us for acts of kindness we have done, Galatians 6:10. And he will reward us for loving his appearance, 2 Timothy 4:8. See, the reward idea is in the Bible, but never think that it is because we did something. Yes, we did, but he did it through us. I've been crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ lives in me. Well, the fifth thing he says in the Greek text, I will to give to this last one as much as I gave to you. It is my will. Tell all. It's my pleasure. In other words, it's an assertion of the sovereignty of God. How dare we to tell him what he should do with what he has? The idea here is Jesus Christ is sovereign and he does what he wants to do and he never asks us our opinion. You read that. Let's turn to the book of Ephesians, chapter 1 and verse 5. It is humiliating to us, but let's read it. He predestined us to be adopted as his sons through Jesus Christ in accordance with his pleasure and will. And that is humiliating, isn't it? And let's look at verse 11. It says, in him we were also chosen, having been predestinated according to the plan of him who works out everything in conformity with the purpose of his will. We tend to think that God must check with us. Hey, you are the first, aren't you? Come on, Ellen. You think it is okay to... What should we give it to these people, the last hired? You know, what do you think? Well, I think, you don't have to give anything at all. They haven't worked. Well, maybe 1/12 of a denarius. That would be good enough. Praise God, he doesn't check with us. He dispenses mercy and grace according to his sovereign disposition. Last, first, he determines. He does not check with our books. He knows the motivations governing our works. He knows who is first and who is last. It will be a little different from our own bookkeeping. Isn't that true? And in the 15th verse he says, you know, is it not lawful for me to do what I want to do with what I have? In other words, church, don't restrict my freedom. I have freedom to do what I want. It's a rebuke upon those who are interested in distinctions and position and power and preeminence. They were envious of the generosity of this God. You know, Dr. Boyce, in his book on parables, he gives this story about evangelist R. A. Torrey. There was a great evangelist by that name, and he was preaching in Australia. And so he collected questions from people, and there was a question. And the question was from a person who was praying for a long time for a specific thing, and God is not answering it. And the person is very upset about it. And he said, you know, I'm a church member for 30 years. And then he said, I'm a consistent church member for 30 years. And I was Sunday school superintendent for 25 years. And I was an elder for 20 years. I cannot understand why God is not answering this prayer. You know, the answer was very simple by R. A. Torrey. What was it? You've been praying in your name all these years. Isn't that true of all of us? We are praying in our name on the basis of what we have done and not in the name of Jesus Christ, which is grace basis. Have you begun to forget grace? Have we begun to forget salvation from eternal wrath? Have we begun to forget the cross? Have we forgotten the quarry from which we have been hewn? Have we begun to speak like the Laodiceans? Remember that? Let's turn to it. Revelation chapter 3 and verse 17. In one verse, you could see the disease of the Laodicean church. Here it is. You say, I am rich. I have acquired wealth and do not need a thing. But you do not realize that you are wretched, pitiful, poor, blind and naked. Need nothing. Hey, where did that come from? This is the problem. Have we fallen from our first love for God and his believers? Have we forgotten kingdom principles that says, humble yourself and he will exalt you? If you want to be greatest, be servant of all. Are we grumbling against the sovereign Lord for showing grace to others? Are we envious of them? Are we seeking praise, position, and power? Are we putting ourselves above others? We must heed the warning given to the disciples who were also afflicted with this self-centeredness. And Jesus detected it and said, but many who are purged will be lost in that day when I settle the account. But he didn't say all first will be lost. He said what? Many. All who are saved are given one denarius. I was wondering about that. Now, don't accept my interpretation, but I think that one denarius stands for grace in Christ. Reward is Christ. Reward is the Holy Spirit. Reward is God. You cannot have more than God. God came to Abraham and said, I'm your shield. Fear not, I'm your shield and your exceeding great reward. One denarius. The problem with sinful people is this, that they cannot appreciate that one denarius, which is inexhaustible. But those who forget the basis of grace cannot appreciate grace, that one denarius. Those who are self-centered will starve to death in the midst of plenty. They murmur and complain and treat others with contempt. They even speak against God, His justice, His sovereignty, His goodness, and His freedom. They prove themselves by their behavior that they are lost or even outside the pale of the kingdom of God. Serious issue here. But let me read to you something that speaks about the first, truly first, but they have no consciousness of any good thing they have done. That's in the 25th chapter of Matthew. Let me read to you from verse 34, speaking about the second coming of Christ. Then the king will say to those on his right, come, you who are blessed by my Father, take your inheritance, the kingdom prepared for you since the creation of the world. For I was hungry, you gave me something to eat. I was thirsty, and you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger, and you invited me in. I needed clothes, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you looked after me. I was in prison. You came to visit me. That's a lot of service. But now, then the righteous will answer him, Lord, when? I mean, they have done it all. God saw it. But they themselves have no idea of it. You see, that is the nature.
You have been listening to Grace and Glory, the radio ministry of Grace Valley Christian Center, featuring biblical teachings of the Christian faith with Pastor P.G. Matthew.